Blog Talk Radio.
Detail the podcast on a Wednesday night, October the 2nd, 2013. I'm Dre, he's Jay. We're here to recap NFL week number 4 in the books. And Jason, how are we doing tonight?
Well, this is an interesting week for me. I managed to basically avoid all the NFL games this week, not on purpose, but I took the wife out of town for a belated birthday trip, and I think I caught maybe 45 minutes of live football, so everything that I have to reference has basically come through highlights and reading, which is, I do like to absorb a lot of firsthand football, so I'm feeling a little rough going into week 5. So interested to see how that pans out with as little of that I actually saw this week, although I was glad that we both put up 9-win weeks. Nice to finally see a good effort out of both of us versus what we've done the first few weeks, which is flip-flop good week, bad week with each other. So very nice to both of us have a good week.
Oh, God, I'm so thrilled to have a winning week finally. It took long enough. I almost didn't have a winning week the entire month of September, which at that point is like, okay, why am I doing a football show again? Because I really suck at this. But yeah, I was able to finally put together a winning week, and then you had the exact same record. So, now what are you going to do?
And we did it the old-fashioned way. We disagreed on 6 games, and we managed to split them right down the middle.
Indeed. That's how we seem to do things. We are scheduled to be joined by a special guest, our first guest. Is this our 10th show, you were saying? This is our 10th show anniversary.
10th show. How did we manage to make it into 10 shows? It's amazing.
I'm not sure, but we are joined now by Michael from footballfanrushradio.com, who that website focuses on the NFC North. They like to look at the NFC North, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay. That's their focus. And Michael, good to see you on the line. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm in the building. I'm always ready to talk some football. And thank you for talking about Football Fan Rush Radio. And not only do we talk about the NFC North, we are two people, myself and Cassandra. We talk about it from a fan's perspective. You have all these national pundits and regional pundits that try to say they're not fans or try to be objective. Oh, we're very subjective.
Sounds good. And Cassandra, your co-host, is joining us on the line as well. How are you doing, Cassandra?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Good to have you both on. So since your focus is mostly the NFC North, of course, we had a division game last Sunday, Chicago and Detroit, and I guess I'll start with you, Michael. What the hell happened in that game? Because I thought the Bears had that one, you know, in the bag, and I guess I was completely wrong about the Bears, as I have been all year.
I see what had happened was I had told Craig and them I was going to kick it with them. And I tried to forget about that game because that was a ugly debacle. Reggie Bush seemed like he was faster than everybody on the field. The Bears were stacking 8-man in the box, and that did nothing. Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh ran wild. We had Chicago fans know good Jay and bad Jay, and bad Jay showed up, and everything about that game was just ugly. It was the first test that Chicago had, and Chicago failed with flying colors. That final score was not indicative of how bad Chicago did.
it was something else to watch. Cassandra, what did you observe in that ball game?
It was honestly pretty much the same thing. I was very shocked at the defensive side of the ball from the Bears. I'm not the biggest Bears fan, but I grew up in this division. I know black and blue football. I did think that the Lions could take the game. I was completely torn. Did not expect the stellar performance from Reggie Bush that I saw, but I knew the Bears were going up against a really strong defense, and I know this is Detroit's year, but I was just shocked at how many turnovers Cutler had this early in the season in this game, how the O-line didn't protect him or create enough holes for the running backs to get open. I was completely shocked. I thought it would be a much better game. I had no idea it was pretty much going to be a blowout.
We both, as you heard us talk about on our show on Sunday, it could have gone either way as far as we were concerned prior to the game.
True.
Literally, it just looked like Chicago didn't show up. And that's the best way to put it. I'm a huge Chicago fan, but literally, Chicago never was in the game. One of the things as a Chicago fan, Chicagoans often talk about why doesn't Soldier Field change to sports turf. Chicago Bears often do good in domes because our team is built on speed. Well, their speed to the ball did us no good. Literally, Peanut Tillman wanted to play in the game. Tim Jennings,
yeah.
Right. Tim Jennings seemed like he wasn't even out there. The defense of the Lions, especially that front seven, pinned their ears back and was coming for Jay the whole game. Plus, they had the comfort of having that ability that even if for some strange reason Jay Cutler makes a big play to Martellus Bennett, to Brandon Marshall, they were so far in the lead the whole time, they had the cushion to play around, to try a good defensive task. And literally no part of the Bears had one highlight the whole game. Matt Forte did that in the second quarter, and that was the only true highlight. It literally was one of the good things that I can honestly say about that game is NFC North fans have noticed from all over the region that Mark Trestman, the Bears' new coach, is a realist. In addition to being a realist, he will call out his players. I would not want to be in the room watching tape with Mark Trestman calling out everybody at how bad they all looked. Lance Briggs, in multiple articles this week, talked about how embarrassed he was that Reggie Bush ran all over them. It was an embarrassment to the defense, period. And Lance Briggs was the one bright spot the Bears had in the defense because anytime we needed a big play, Lance Briggs came with a big hit. Peanut Tillman and Tim Jones, excellent coverage guys. But the NFC North, the black and blue division, and definitely the Bears, is all about putting a helmet on somebody, hitting somebody.
Right.
And unfortunately, that was not that game, at least on the Bears' side of the ball. The offensive line had come accustomed to pushing people back. Well, Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, they came ready. They came ready. Both, and I concentrate on those guys, but literally the entire Detroit defense came ready.
Yeah, the whole line didn't push back. The Bears didn't push anybody back on Sunday.
I think the Bears sort of did what Minnesota did with the Cleveland Browns. They underestimated who they were going up against. I think they took the game too lightly. I don't think they thought Detroit was coming with that intensity. I think they figured at this point, you know, from 2006 looking at 2013, Reggie Bush has at least lost a step by now. I really think that they thought they had the Lions' number. They were not expecting this level of intensity at all in this game. They were not ready for it.
The Lions came to that game and treated it like a playoff game. They literally treated that like a playoff game. And honestly, the meat of the Bears or the meat of the entire NFC North schedule is about to happen. As a matter of fact, the only team to seem to have three easy games coming up in the next 3 weeks is Green Bay. The Bears have
their three easy games. They jump out, but they jump out with the Lions. You know, they're coming up against Detroit, so I don't know how easy that's going to be for them. They're a little injured. They're hurt. They're a little wobbly. They're not the team from last year, so we got to see if Aaron Rodgers can get them past the Lions.
And Minnesota, they did the best thing they needed to do. They went into their bye week with a win. People can talk about who they beat up on, but I don't care. When Detroit was, quote-unquote, a horrible team, everybody was beat up on Detroit going into their bye week just so they could have something to build off of. I would not want to be the defense coming up against Adrian Peterson after he's had 2 weeks to rest.
We'll see what happens with the Panthers when they face them. We'll see.
And Matt Castle, he's not going to go out there being Tom Brady throwing to Randy Moss and Wes Welker. But what Matt Castle won't do that Christian Ponder had been doing is he won't make a boneheaded play. Now, Minnesota has been talking about, and Leslie Frazier has been saying that he didn't know who he was going to start. But I think Matt Castle should get that nod. I know plenty of Minnesota fans that feel the same way. The black and blue division, whether we consider it black and blue or not, because the offense is definitely there in this division, it's going to be a close battle. This is not going to be a runaway for any one of the teams. I believe first, second, and third place in the division is going to be a total of a two-game swing.
The news actually came out today about Matt Castle that he has a broken rib somewhere near his heart. So we're Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder.
Right. So we're not going to see him on the field anytime soon. That's probably for the best for the Vikings. But
Cassandra, I
know you're the big Vikings homer. Me and Michael were the big Bears homer. We got Jason on the line who's not a Packers homer necessarily, but he is up there in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm sure he's got some thoughts he'd like to chime in with.
Well, you know, being that I'm the one person here who's not NFC North centric, even though I live in Wisconsin, so I get the constant Green Bay news. I'm more of an NFC South guy. I'm a Falcons fan, so I pay attention to that division. The Vikings, and I know, Andre, you and I talked about this before the show a little bit, being that I am the president and sole member of the still remaining sole member of the Josh Freeman fan club, I think it would be a wise move. I loved him coming out of college.
I think the Vikings should
buy low on Josh Freeman, who is an extremely talented quarterback, although it hasn't looked that way under Greg Schiano, who's a total idiot.
Yeah,
Greg Schiano
I agree.
Greg Schiano didn't want Josh Freeman's style to begin with. Josh Freeman is too laid back for Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano wants that rah-rah type of quarterback, but that's not who Josh Freeman is. And one of the things is, as soon as that came out that he was benched and that a possible he was on the trade block, we posed that to our fans, and we literally all believe that would be great. And what is great about Josh Freeman, I'm going to almost blaspheme, but I would compare him as far as his style of play to an Aaron Rodgers. The ability to run, but he primarily wants to throw the ball. I would compare him to a Colin Kaepernick or an RG3, that their game is predicated on their ability to run. Josh Freeman is a major upgrade to Christian Ponder. And honestly, if they were building around Christian Ponder, albeit that Matt Castle is not going to be an upgrade or a downgrade, Matt Castle's game is a stay in the pocket guy. and you would rather have someone who can move when it's time, especially when the Vikings.
Well, when it comes to the Vikings, they don't. That when you look at their game, they don't. They've got enough offensive weapons, and they've got a pretty decent line. They want the check down plays. They want a quarterback that can look, see, I can hit him or I can hit him. They're very visual. Whether he gets in or out of the pocket is not the big thing to them. It's connecting and completing those passes and making smart decisions, which Christian Ponder does not do.
Right, and one of the things that they're not using Jennings to his ability, he's one of the best route-running receivers in the NFL. He's not that receiver that can jump up with everybody and go get the ball. Although he can, his biggest asset is that he's a great route runner. And with Christian Ponder not putting the ball where it needs to go, find somebody that can.
Well, I do want to hear a little bit more from Jason because I'm also an NFC South fan. I've been eyeing the Falcons. I love Matt Ryan. Everyone knows that. So I do want to hear more about the NFC South and his thoughts, even though he has to live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm depressed.
I was disappointed. I literally did not see the Patriots coming into Atlanta and winning that game, especially with the Patriots barely winning their previous games.
Well, I'll tell you, Atlanta, you know, I from what I got to see, I didn't get to see a lot of that game, but what I got to see of that game was that desperate Falcons offense that they played those last 20 minutes was what I want to see out of them for the entire game.
Yeah, I agree.
This just frantic, frenetic pace, you know, Matt Ryan with some urgency. I think Matt Ryan's a little too laid back. And he always seems to play really well when everything's on the line. He just
hasn't
been able to close with those games. But, yeah, when he needs a snap throw deep down the field, he's done this to a bunch of teams in the past. And he did it again to Julio Jones. All of a sudden, Matt Ryan, you don't think he has much of an arm. And all of a sudden, this thing just comes out like a cannon 50 yards down the left sideline for Julio Jones. You got who might be the best receiver in football right now. And
I will.
You got that weapon, and he should be chucking these balls up in the air to him as much as he possibly can. And
Come on, what do you mean he's too relaxed? He's Matty Ice. Come on, he's Joe Cool.
Well,
he's got it all under control.
Matty Ice, that nickname, Matty Ice, I will say he has ice in his veins when, like Jason said, when there's a sense of urgency. But when there's not a sense of urgency, he needs his running back, and they don't have Michael Turner anymore, and Steven Jackson's injured. So he has proven that without a good running back there, their offense isn't the same. You got Roddy White on one side and Julio Jones on the other side. They should by far have the best receiving tandem in the NFL.
Yeah,
That was a big factor.
Atlanta's that team though that with Steven Jackson hurt needs to give up on the run and almost use the short passing game as their running game, kind of like what the Patriots do. And just throw these little intermediate routes, these little six-yard routes, or these little swing passes out of the backfield, and stop trying to run the ball early in the game on first and second down, because Jacquizz Rodgers and Jason Snelling aren't striking fear into the hearts of their competition. So, yeah, I'm deeply upset about that 1-3 start, although they do get the Jets this week. So I'm looking a little more optimistic, but when you're 1-3, it's really hard to be too optimistic.
The only thing that I would say in your favor is the 49ers were 1-2 last week, so it literally can turn around and turn around fast in the NFL. And I would definitely have to agree with you on using the short route pass as your running play. Look at the New Orleans Saints. They do that with Darren Sproles every week. You stated what the Patriots do, and Peyton Manning has fallen in love with Wes Welker with the short route pass.
So it is, I think you're definitely speaking to the short route pass has become the running play. Even the Bears do it because Matt Forte, they get him out in space on the edge and they turn his 5-yard pass into long, big plays. And honestly, that is the best thing for them. Some of the Bears' best running plays have come off this short route pass. Where do we lose our
round? I don't think this show's ever been this fast and furious.
I know.
I mean, literally, well, that's how we were in our early.
I just don't want. I don't want the Falcons to take the Jets lightly. I don't. I know poor Geno Smith doesn't have a lot to work with. They're still trying to pull it all together, but I think the Falcons need to go in, get this one done, grab the win, and don't take them lightly. We've seen what happens. We saw the loss that the Vikings had. We just saw what happened with the Bears when you go in and you just assume that you've already got them beat because of their record.
I'm just glad that having a Vikings fan on the line and me being a Falcons fan that we can talk so nicely to each other.
Oh man!
I don't need to say anything else. See all the love.
You should hear our off-the-air meeting conversations based on being a Bears fan versus a Vikings fan. Oh, my goodness. Just having
well,
a conversation preparing
the
to join you guys was madness.
It was.
We call that the VIP after show.
if our shows are salty enough, what we say after the show is over sometimes is even rougher, believe it or not.
And trust me, we understand our first couple of weeks, we kind of went over-professional. I won't say unprofessional. We were over-professional, and then we were having a conversation just talking about we want our show to sound like the way we talk about football. And then in that third week, I just said, what's up with this? We go in on each other, so let's go in on each other on the show. We had a point on the show where a person named Cassandra couldn't decide if she wanted to pick for the Bears to win or the Lions to win. And then she going
to
throw
me under
the bus. The
Lions fans convinced me. They convinced me.
Wait, no, she didn't say
even if she
Lions
was
3 years
old.
A 3-year-old Lions fan convinced her. I said, no, you
That's
can't
right.
do that because now you make me look like a jerk for going against the 3-year-old. And then for the 3-year-old
Vikings
to be right,
fan wanted to convince me I just took that too.
I mean, for a 3-year-old to be right, and then me to just be made to look like Boo Boo the Fool on top of it, that was not fun. Not fun.
Hey, Andre, I think Andre this year needs the help of a 3-year-old.
I couldn't use that.
Oh my God.
My picks have been Well, the 3-year-old fills a diaper win. That's what my picks have been so far this year. it's been pretty bad.
So we have a big matchup. I know I stayed up until the wee hours of the night watching Miami and New Orleans, and now the Bears and New Orleans. And I don't know if the Bears can bounce back against what I saw against Miami.
I mean, literally. If we did that against Reggie Bush, now we have Drew Brees and Darren Sproles.
Only
Drew Brees and Darren Sproles.
Awesome.
And then Sean Payton is calling the plays. This is not Detroit. Coming into that Bears-Lions game, Detroit's play calling will put anybody to sleep. And then it's almost like they snapped out of it against the Bears. So now we're going against Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and Darren Sproles. Oh my goodness! You're about to make me panic a few days early.
I have no idea who I'm picking in that one.
We already know that's going to be one of our highlight games because you know we'll highlight a few games every week, and Andre and I talked about it before the show that we got to talk about Bears and Saints because that's probably the best game. on paper. Because on paper, it could not turn out to be the best game of the week. But that's two top teams right now.
Yeah.
So we know we're going to be talking, digging into that one a little bit deeper. The other thing that we get to dig into deeper tonight is the brown fever that has overswept
this
podcast.
And Hoyer fever. Oh, my God.
Not brown.
Is anybody calling that Trent Richardson trade a stupid trade now?
Well, the Browns quit on the season.
It worked for the Browns, apparently.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, there's still a real possibility the Browns could go 3-13. We're just I mean, it's only week five.
I mean, with that argument, it's possible for the Bears to go 3-13 and for the Giants to run off 12 straight.
That's true, but I don't think we
well,
put
okay.
the Bears and the Browns kind of in the same place.
Yeah, in the same though. And God bless the Giants. No.
I mean, literally.
Sorry, Eli. No.
Going into this season, how many people would have thought the Giants and the Steelers would have the same record at 0-4?
I did call the Giants to start lousy, but I had them turning it around by now. I had this whole Tom Coughlin's going to get fired thing going, so that would kind of propel the Giants into the playoffs like it did the last two times. I didn't know
yeah,
going
the
this
last
bad.
Two times they were getting fired, they won a Super Bowl. So maybe that might be part of their whole strategy.
Right. I don't think it's going to work again.
I'm glad someone's on board with me on this. I don't look like quite the fool.
I don't think it's going to work.
I mean,
this is lousy.
Why don't we think it's going to work? Does anybody feel like any team is going to be in control of the NFC East? While the Dallas Cowboys might be the most talented team in that division, does anybody want to bet their money, their paycheck on the Cowboys to last a whole season? And even if you do or don't, the Panthers showed they have some fire in them when they destroyed the Giants. The Giants, everybody still has a belief in Tom Coughlin can pull something out, and nobody wants to believe RG3 and out is going to stay RG3 and out.
The least we talk about the Giants and the Falcons, the better, because that's our Super Bowl picks, and they're currently both 1-7 combined, so I don't think we want to talk about them anymore.
I will at least say I have the Broncos in the AFC. At least I'm on track in the AFC. Looking okay over there. NFC, not so good.
Well, my NFC picks, I was picking for it to be all about the NFC West and the 49ers and the Seahawks. I knew the Saints were going to come back strong, but the way they've been playing, I did not see this. I just did not. I knew they were going to come back strong, but I shouldn't have bet against the Ryan family. Buddy Ryan really taught his sons how to coach defense, and I swear, their defense in New Orleans is looking as strong as their offense.
It really is.
And this is without the Bounty Gate problem going on.
Yeah, and those are the same guys. That's the same defense that was the worst defense of all time last year. The same guys.
Yeah.
I mean, when Roger Goodell sat down Sean Payton, he cut off the head of the snake. Now that head is back on, and they got everything together. Drew Brees is a much better player. He's confident in himself. Marcus Colston, he can catch that ball just because it was thrown in the air. You got Jimmy Graham looking like he's going up for a rebound on every catch in the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
I hate the
well,
Saints.
They're like
actually
him.
Not the surprise team for me, believe it or not. I knew with Sean coming back, the Saints were never, in the last 2 years, have not been a horrible team anyway, with discrediting last year. Last year, they were so much happened in the Saints organization that, of course, they were emotionally just pulled apart, and they still had games to play. I am shocked at Miami right now.
Yeah.
I I couldn't believe that we were watching two teams that actually had no losses, and one of them were called the Dolphins. I was like, I haven't seen that in years from Miami. So they're my biggest shock so far this season.
I mean, and not only were they undefeated, who would have thought that out of those three games that they won, that Mike Wallace only had one good game? He only had one good game in them first three. And now the one person on Miami's team that I was not surprised about the whole season, he's been playing like a beast. Cameron Wake has been awake all season.
That's a big reason why I did not pick Miami's Monday night, because he wasn't playing. So that was a big reason why I stayed away from them. Our 30-minute show is about to run out. We're out of time. Michael, Cassandra, this has been a hell of a lot of fun. We got to do this again down the road. One more time, plug for your website. You guys do this Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Central Time. Go ahead and plug what you guys are doing and where you can be found on the web.
Well, Cassandra, she runs the Twitter. I run our Facebook page. We both send each other everything, but if you want to find us, go to footballfanrushradio.com. All of our links are on that page. Cassandra is the queen of the blogs. I'm the king. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking about the Viking.
Careful.
You heard
are we gonna make news on the radio?
No. But I'm the king of finding information from apps, and I'm sending it out to everybody and setting up the retweets. But find us on footballfanrushradio.com.
And I've got Buffalo tomorrow night, by the way, Andre. Whatever the spread, I've got the Bills tomorrow night. I do not like the Browns with prosperity. Don't take the Browns as a favorite here. I've got Buffalo.
You've given up on Hoyer.
I don't have the Brown fever this week.
Oh, man.
So he's feeling EJ Manuel this week.
I mean, why are you tripping? EJ Manuel and Geno Smith have not looked bad.
No, they have not looked bad.
I feel so bad
for Geno Smith. Like, he has nobody to connect to. I just really want to run out there through the TV and just catch the ball for him. I really do.
Young quarterbacks are being compared to Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, and RG3. E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith are what rookie quarterbacks should look like. Good, but still making mistakes.
Well, I don't know if they can hold up against the Cleveland and what their defense is doing. The Cleveland front seven has been awesome. I got them to shut down the running game. Make EJ Manuel pass. I don't think that's going to work well for them. The spread is 3.5. The Browns are 3.5-point favorites. I'm taking Cleveland to make it kind of ugly, 24-10, something like that. I kind of like that. Michael, Cassandra, again, thank you for your time. It's been great. We'll have to do
thank
it again down the
so
road.
Thank you so much for having us. Definitely thank you so much for having us.
And we're going to invite you guys to join us soon.
Yeah, always, anytime.
The thing is, if you guys are on Sunday, we're both working Sunday, so it's going to be tough. But one of these Sundays, we'll figure out a way to get in touch with you guys.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. We will make it all happen.
You will.
All right, thank you again.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So we are out of time. We got our pick in. I'm sure the clock is still running, but we've been going over 30 minutes. We're no stranger to that, right, Jason?
That's right. Just hope we don't get the bill for it.
That free blogtalkradio.com site is not going to be free much longer if we keep doing this. Plus, real quick, I do have a recap up for last week. In much less detail, blogspot.com. Twitter, I'm at IMLDDre. You're at IMLDJTG. Email the show in much less detail at gmail.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Our next show, Friday Night Picks, 10 o'clock Central. We'll be back, NFL week number 5. This broadcast is copyrighted. Our first guest in the books, it was pretty crazy.
But I think it turned out pretty well. So for Jay, I'm Dre. We are out of here, and we will see you guys back here Friday night, 10 o'clock Central.